happy to be here today. Yes, it's always a joy to be in the presence of God, because as I said, you know, as we prayed and as we sang the song, I think it's a reminder that God wants to live in our hearts, and He's always in our hearts. If you are, if you are aware, for the past few weeks we have been looking at some of the Christian vocabularies, right? When we pray, we pray to God and using certain words we ask. And if you go to a church, every church, right, you know the Christian vocabulary. Sometimes it's nice to have a Christian vocabulary, kind of a like a dictionary kind of a thing. So you tend to see what is the thing that happens, right? We use the word grace, we use the word forgiveness and all that. But even though they are vocabularies, but they are very fundamental for our Christian thinking, right? Because I think it teaches us who we are, the things that we tend to embrace in our life. Today, you know, I know many of us don't use the word wilderness because we don't want to have a wilderness in our life, right? The reason I use the word wilderness because I want to stick onto the text. Have you realized many times we pray, Lord, I want to be renewed, right? I want to be empowered. Lord, I want to be someone for you, right? And so, Lord, revive me, empower me, Lord, use me. And that's been many a times our prayer. Lord, fill me with the power of the Spirit and all that. I think we tend to be seeking God in those things. But did I pray before I preached? No? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for the time that we can come. We just want to hear your voice, Father. We pray that you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. How many of you have gone to a wilderness, made a trip to the wilderness, Sahara Desert and all that? Wow. Next time I think you should go to a wilderness. I think when you see wilderness, it will be something like this. It's not fun, right? It's not nice. There's nothing there to see. You know, it's dead, right? I don't see any life in the wilderness. And if you go much more closer, this is how it looks, right? It's very rocky, you know. I don't think so. We want to spend a couple of thousands of dollars visiting places like that, because this is the last place we want to be, right? And sometimes in our Christian life, if you realize, I do not know, you know, sometimes you feel like this, right? Sometimes we go through a wilderness experience. We go through difficult moments in our life. I don't know, sometimes you pray and you say, you know, Pastor Vincent, I pray, but nothing is happening. I'm praying for certain things, but, you know, I realize, you know, nothing is moving on in my life. Or you might say, you know, I don't see growth in my spiritual walk. Looks like my spiritual walk is becoming very stagnant or maybe downhill. I don't have that passion. I don't have the excitement. You know, the fire in me is slowly diminishing of, you know, dying off. Or some of us might even say, you know, I do not know where, what happened to the joy and peace. It's almost like gone, right? Christian life has just become a routine. Looks like I'm in a vacuum. You know, nothing is really happening to me. I do not know how many of you have gone through a moment like that. Or maybe you are in a moment like that even now. Or might be that you might be going through a moment like that in the future. Sometimes you feel, you know, things are not right. You know, I don't have the joy. You know, I've been doing the right thing. I've been loving God. I've been, you know, reading His Word, meditating on His Word, going to church, a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looks like the fire is not burning in me. What's happening to me? A couple of things could be happening to us. One of the things that could actually happen to us is, you know, maybe, you know, it's a time, maybe we are falling back. We might be falling back in our spiritual walk. Or we might be taking our devotional life, you know, as a simple thing, just a routine kind of a thing without much excitement. Or it could be because, you know, God wants to bring us to a wilderness experience. The passage that is just before us, right? By the way, it's time out, I know. It's time out. It's time for us to think what's happening to us. Right? The passage that is before us, it's a passage that talks to us about the baptism of Jesus and the testing of Jesus. Can you imagine? At that time, Jesus came out from Jerusalem, from Nazareth in Galilee, and was baptized by John. in the Jordan. You know, a wonderful experience, a moment of excitement. I know when people come out from the water, they are so excited. The church is rejoicing. We praise God. You know, the kind of excitement. And just as Jesus was coming out of the water, it says, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased." Can you say, I was just trying to imagine the moment, you know, Jesus is being baptized. It's a very powerful moment, encouraging moment. And, you know, like, as a Christian, I think many of us have gone through baptism. You're on fire. You want to change the world upside down. You want to convert every person that you see in the street because you are in the fire for God. You know, and when I looked at this passage, I was asking myself, but immediately, if you realize, at once, the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. God could have said, you know, my son, you're ready. Right? I'm just sending you. Go and fulfill all the things that I want you to do. The time is right. But it's interesting, and if you look at the passages very carefully, Matthew talks about it, Mark talks about it, Luke talks about it. But at once, immediately, the Spirit led him. Very interesting, if you look at certain versions, I think it says the Spirit, in other words, the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. It was the plan of God, right? Sometimes I wonder, why should Jesus go into the wilderness? He's a perfect person, right? He is the one, he's the Redeemer, he's the Savior. You know, he doesn't need any wilderness experience. He doesn't even need baptism. But I think Jesus is teaching us a lot of things, my friend. There are moments in our life that we go through a wilderness experience. We feel everything is, you know, I've been on fire, but something is happening in my life. But God sometimes wants us to go through a wilderness experience. At once the Spirit led him into the wilderness experience. Let me encourage you by saying, if you are a person who says, you know, Pastor Vincent, I've been really keeping up with my devotional life, but I realize maybe I don't have the fire. Maybe God is bringing you into a wilderness experience. You know, I've been doing things rightly. I've been talking to people about Christ, but I don't see the fruits. It could be a wilderness experience. Right? I have been praying for certain things to happen in my life, but I don't see any answer. But I've been doing it right. I've been faithful. You know, I've been living a good Christian life. It could be a wilderness experience. God, there are moments in our life that God drags us into a wilderness experience. The Greek word is a very interesting word. You know, I do not know how many of you have gone for parachuting. Right? I've done parachuting before, or skydiving before. They will say, you know, suddenly they will throw you down. That was the way. Jesus was suddenly thrown away, right, into the wilderness. And, you know, and see what happens. I think if you are going through a moment like that, let me tell you, you know, maybe God wants you to go through a wilderness. Not to break you, but also to build you. To see where you are. If you realize, I'll later talk to you about the people who went through wilderness experience and came much stronger, right? And so it's a place to encounter and a place for renewal, right? It says Jesus went into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit. And he was, what was he doing? He was not just sitting down there. What was he doing? He was fasting. In other words, he was spending time with God. He was just, what is prayer? Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is meeting God, my friends. It is not just, you know, throwing whatever that's in the desires of our heart. Prayer is just making time for God and meeting God and just having a conversation with God. And that is what is happening here. Maybe God wants us to meet him. You know what? He longs to have our fellowship, my friend. That's the way I see things. Not that, you know, Jesus needs that time, but I think it is teaching us that God wants to have time with us, meeting with us, because there are moments, you know, sometimes we tend to take Christian life very lightly. God says, draw near, as James talks in his writings, draw near and God will draw near to us. So it's a time. Imagine 40 days, 40 nights. Wow. Yes, it's wow. Let me tell you, you know, sometimes it's, you know, if you are going through a difficult or a challenging moment in your life, you've been doing it right, but you know, maybe God says, time out. I want you to spend some time with me. Because I think you need some time with me. And what's happening here, Jesus is actually fasting for 40 days, right? He's without food. And, you know, I don't know how many of you have actually fasted. I would encourage you, right? Maybe one day I'll talk about fasting. It's maybe a reduction of food or abstinence from food. What's happening? You know, you're saying no to yourself, but you're just, you know, wanting to spend time with God. Maybe you're making a major decision about your life, a career change. Take time out. Take a time of fasting. Just pray and just, Lord, I'm just going to make a major shift in my life. I'm thinking of getting married, right? I'm thinking of a career change. I'm thinking of health. Something is, it's not right with me in terms of my health. Or, Lord, I don't feel, you know, I'm not growing. Take time off and spend time praying. And I would challenge you and encourage you to fast, because it says very loud, but you know, that you are much more concerned about spending time with God, just dwelling in the presence of God. And that was Jesus. You know, he was doing this. You know, for a moment, you know, if you have major things happening, take time out, right? Just a time to fast and to pray and to be just to be with God and to be just alone with Him. That'd be wonderful. You know, let me tell you, you know, scriptures, you see, you tend to see a lot of examples of people who spent time in prayer and fasting, you know, and they were just powerful in the sight of God. Secondly, you know, what's happening? Because when you go into a wilderness, you tend to know yourself. You tend to know who you are, right? Either you will submit or you will surrender and say no more. Either you will say, Lord, I give myself to you. In Luke chapter 4, right? What's happening? You know, Jesus was tempted. He was tempted by Satan three different ways. So it's a time that you can know, you know, whether you want to stay strong in your faith or you want to give up your faith. Whether you're telling yourself, you know, yes, Lord, I want to build up my faith, or I will not. You know, I'll just give up walking with you, kind of a thing. So wilderness experience are moments where God brings us, because, you know, the flip side is just to test our faith. Temptation could be, you know, the flip side of temptation is to just test our faith. That's why James talks about it in James chapter 1, 2 to 4. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren. Can you imagine? He says in James chapter 1, 2 and 4, he says, consider all joy, my brethren. When you encounter various trials, when you're going through trials, consider it with all joy. Because it will either make you submit to God and say, Lord, it's your will, it's not me. Or you might say, no, no, I'm not going to live that kind of Christian life again. You know, I just want to be myself, be away, right? I'll just be a nominal kind of a Christian, but not wanting to be the way God wants us to be. So I think it's important for us, right, to spend time in your wilderness to know who you are. Lent season is a wonderful season because it's a time to check yourself, to see your pulse, whether, you know, your pulse is beating for Christ, whether it's low blood or is it too high, what's happening, is it a balanced life that I'm having. So Jesus is actually teaching us something. Not that, you know, that he will just run away, but I think he is just spending time with God, examining, giving himself and saying, Lord, you know, I just want to be with you, right? Thirdly, you know, wilderness experience are another moments, right? I think it's a place of spiritual warfare. What is happening when you are there alone with God? Let me tell you, It's not going to be so wonderful. Well, Pastor Vincent said, you know, I'm going to take a time to fast. Let me tell you, when you want to do that, there will be a lot of things. People will invite you for dinner at that time. Right? They will say, hey, you must come for this dinner. You cannot. You can fast for another time. And another time, you postpone to another time. Something will come up, right? And that day, you will feel very hungry. You feel, oh, I need to eat something. Right? Or some, you know, you tend to postpone. You tend to postpone. You tend to postpone. I think I would have told you a story about, one thing, you know, I think I told you the story. Let me repeat the story. You know, when Satan was having a council meeting, a committee meeting, right, with his council. So he was talking to the devil and having a conversation. And so Satan was asking how the Christians are doing. So one devil came and said, you know, Mr. Lucifer, this is happening among Christians. You know, I told them not to pray, but these guys are still praying. So another devil was saying, you know, give them a lot of problems. No, even though they have problems, they are still smiling. And then Satan and another devil came and said, you know, but I had another strategy and I tried, it is working. And so Lucifer asked him, what was the strategy? I told the people, right, it's okay, let's do it tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow. Because tomorrow will never come, my friend. Right? So it's a place for spiritual warfare, right? It's a place I think Satan wants to, you know, when you are with God, let me tell you, you're praying, those are the moments you have other thoughts coming in. When you're closing your eyes, you know, there are so many things that will be coming. And many times what happens when you're praying, you forget what you're actually praying because there are so many things that's happening in your mind. Spiritual warfare that's happening. Satan, in these circumstances, I'm not going to go in detail. I think you can read it in Matthew chapter 4. It speaks very clearly. What's happening, you know? He's bringing Jesus to the first temptation, right? The first temptation is saying, you know, turn these stones into bread. Why? It is just to, you know, the doubt. You know, he's saying, you know, you are in control of your life. You can do it. Why do you need God? You can be in control. And that's what I think he's trying to tell us, right? You be in charge of your life. You don't need God. You don't need to have faith. Your Christian readings have been sufficient. Your church going has been sufficient. You can just lean on to your strength. Just turn. But Jesus' reply was totally different, right? Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's where the words of Jesus. The second temptation that was coming to Jesus was, you know, Satan was telling Jesus, right? He brought him to a holy city and said, you know, throw yourself, right? And God will protect you. In other words, he was saying, you can test God. Test God, right? And you can test to see whether, you know, he will protect you or guide you. Let me tell you, these are some of the things that actually happens. If God really cares for you, he will protect you. If God really cares for you, he will answer your prayer. Why is he not answering your prayer? Why you need to go through all this suffering? Because he doesn't care for you. That's the way the devil was trying to tempt Jesus, and he still tempts us even today, my friend. The third temptation was, you know, he brought Jesus to a high mountain and said, you know, I give you all the kingdoms. Can you imagine? I give you all the kingdoms. Just worship me. That's all. In other words, he was saying, you don't need the cross. Why you need to go through the pain? Right? As a Christian, it's painful, let me tell you. It's challenging to be a Christian today. It's difficult to be a Christian because you have to say no to so many things. You have to say no. You have to draw the line. You can't compromise. You can't live the way the world wants us to live. You need to say no, because I'm a Christian. My Christian values are different. Satan doesn't want you to carry the cross, my friend. He wants us to take the easy route and say, you know, I'll give you everything. You don't need to carry the cross because it's painful. It's difficult, right? You can't do the things your friends are doing. And that's the way Satan. If you realize, you know, if Christian life is not a struggling for you, then something is wrong. because Christian life is always challenging. It's difficult to say no, right? It's not saying yes to whatever I want. It's saying yes to God. That's Christian life, right? And so if you realize, I think that's, it's a spiritual warfare. And not only that, it's also physical, right? What's happening to the wild animals? There is fear, right? They can tear you apart. Satan can even come and harm you in a different way, my friend. I've seen in my personal life, right, when I in pastoral ministry, I've seen it in people's people have shared to me, right, and told me what's happening. It happens, right? Spiritual life and also physical life, Satan does things. But you know something? We have a God who's so wonderful, because the next slide tells you this, right? It's a place of divine provision. What's happening in Mark chapter 1 verse 13? It says that the angels attended to him. And then if you read Matthew chapter 4, it also says, right, that angels came and attended to him. Sometimes the impression that we get from these particular verses, right, you might think, you know, they came after the 40 days was over, they were just waiting, right, at the 40th day, and they came and ministered to him. But many scholars are of the opinion it's not like that. The angels were actually ministering to Jesus. In other words, not at the end of the 40th day, but actually was ministering to Jesus almost every day, right? They were there to help, to guide, to be with them, with Jesus. And so in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, right, and it says about angels, are not angels ministering spirits? They are there to help. When Elijah was in what was happening, he was in the wilderness in 1 Kings chapter 19, we realize the angels came and said, you know, Elijah, come and eat. Come and eat. So in other words, I think when we are going through a wilderness experience, God is actually ministering to us, but whether are we aware that he's ministering to us? Silence does not mean that he has left us, right? He's there, but are we aware of his presence? As I said in our pastoral prayer, are you aware that he's inside you, my friend? Right? He's just living inside us, and the angels were ministering to Jesus. Many times when you read people who went through a wilderness experience, what was happening when you read the life of Moses in Exodus chapter 3, right? He went in through a wilderness experience. He came as a strong leader. God gave him a call. He was running away. If you read 1 Kings, right, what happens? Elijah was afraid. He went into the wilderness. He was afraid of the people. But then the angels came, and not only that, God passed by him so that Elijah can see the presence of God passing by. He came out as a bold and courageous man, my friend. You know why? Because he submitted to God, not surrendered. Let me say, I was reading a story about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a great man. There was one time he was in an ocean liner. He was traveling with a lot of people, and there was a great storm, and the boat was almost like going down. And people were praying, you know. Good Christians always do that when something is going to happen, right? They were praying, and let me tell you, it's we need to pray. And so they were praying. They were praying because the storm was so bad. But then a gentleman came up to the deck, and then he realized D.L. Moody was just standing there, just looking at the storms. And the gentleman said, "Hey, D.L. Moody, you're in the wrong place, because we're all praying. Right? You should come and join us." You know what D.L. Moody said? "You know, I've already prayed to God." In other words, D.L. Moody was more proactive, not reactive. He was praying to God before the storm came. So when the storm came, he knew how to cruise through, my friend. He was, yes, it's good to pray during the storm, but I think it's important for us to pray even before the storm comes into our life, right? And Moody was a great example. Let me finish with this verse. You know, many times I ask myself this question, Mark chapter 1, verse 11, right? It says, and a voice came from heaven. That was after Jesus was baptized. And the voice said, right, you are my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. I always ask myself, why did God have to say a word like that? Because Jesus just started his ministry, right? Normally, you say that when a person achieves, right, a person completes successfully and say, you know, you're my son, I'm pleased with what you've done. But God is saying these words immediately after baptism. Jesus has not even started his ministry, my friend. He has not even preached a sermon, right? He has not done any miracles at all. But what is happening? God is saying these words, you're my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. When I was digging into to find out what is the real reason, and you know, I was very fascinated because, you know, God knew very well that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will go through the wilderness experience successfully. And God said, you know, I know that you will go through this wilderness experience successfully and you will be victorious in that moment of your life. And that's why he said, I'm well pleased. You know, when I was reading into this particular passage to find out, I was asking myself, when I'm going through a difficult moment, will God be able to say, you know, I'm well pleased? Or will he say, no, I do not know what's going to happen to my son? God knew very well that Jesus will go through this difficult period of wilderness experience. Can God say the same words to us? If you're going through a wilderness experience, can God say, I know my child will go through and come out victorious? Or God says, I have my doubts. And God was pleased, because he knew that Jesus will come out victorious. And so, my friend, if you're in a wilderness experience, it doesn't mean that God has actually rejected us. It could also mean that God says, time out. Right? I want to build you, right? Not to destroy you, not to harm you, but I want to strengthen you, so that you will come out like Moses, who was just running away, but then he came back as a leader. I don't want you to, you know, as like Elijah was just running away and came back from a wilderness experience, bold, courageous, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear friends, I know where I think you know where you are. There are moments sometimes you feel so dry in your spiritual life. Maybe you think, you know, the joy is no more, the peace is no more, the excitement is no more. Maybe some of us might think, you know, I've been doing certain things, I don't see anything in terms of fruits. Sometimes you feel your life is very stagnated. It doesn't mean that you've fallen away. It could mean that God wants to bring you to a higher level. He wants to bring you one step further. And he says, time out, because let's reflect.
Let's have a different game plan. Let's strategize something different. Because wilderness experience can either build us, it can also destroy us. Because we can say yes to our flesh and no to the Spirit. We can say, Lord, yes, I hear you. Or you can say, no, Lord, I just going to depend on myself. And that was the strategy of Satan, right? He was telling Jesus, you know, God is not caring for you. Why don't you turn the stones into bread? Where's God when you need him? He's not there. If he's really God, he should protect you. Why should you need to go through the cross, the pain? Take life easy, right? Do whatever you want. But if you go to God, you know, you need to sacrifice. Say no. But you are with me, you can do whatever you want. That's Satan's strategy. You know, God sometimes brings us because he wants to bring us to a different level. He wants us to be like Elijah, who went running, but then he came strong, bold, courageous. He wants us to be like Moses went, because Moses went to the wilderness. He was there and God met him and he came out. Can you imagine leading his own people to the promised land? Such a timid guy, but he was bold. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us, because in the season of Lent, O God, we can reflect about our life, O God, where we are. Lord, if we are going through a wilderness experience because of our failures or because of our sin, we pray that you'll speak to us. If it's a moment, O God, that you want to strengthen our faith or bring us to a different level, help us, O Lord, to submit. Help us, O Lord, to know that it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but when we come out from a wilderness experience, we are much more stronger for you. And we want you, Lord, to say, I'm well pleased. This is my son, and I'm well pleased. We want to please you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.